Is there any hope at all for America? So I turned to 1 Peter and chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus is our hope. Where is the hope, though, in regard to the United States? Doesn't look too good, does it? And where is the hope for those of us that are in a great fear? Where is the hope? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. God created man in his image, and he wanted man to obey. And I started this out last time, and I started to go to these verses. Got kind of delayed, so anyway, we'll just touch on these because I want to go on past these further. But let's turn to Ezekiel 20. And I'm just going to read 11 through 13. Ezekiel 20, 11 through 20. And I, Ezekiel 20, 11 through 20. And I gave them my statutes, and I showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to sign between me and them, that they might know I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment, which if man do, he shall even live in them. And the Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. So God kind of wants, he created man, he kind of wants man to do what his statutes are. And see, he really says here that he gave us his guidelines. He gave us the way to live. He tells us, so he shall even live in them. If you do what I say, you'll live and have a good life, better life, if you live in them. Made it very clear from the outset, and I don't think that changed just because we have different dispensations in the New Testament. But maybe so, so we'll just see. So, let us look at Ezekiel 22, 29 through 31. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully, and they have sought a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Found none. Not a one. Found none. Therefore I have poured out mine indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with fire and my wrath in their own way. I have recompensed upon their heads with the Lord God. And of course you all probably heard the news today about the man that defended his store. He was working for a store, and robbers came in to take $950 worth of stuff, you see, because you can steal $900 in that state, you can steal $950 worth of stuff, and they don't charge you for it. So if you bring 12 people in, you all steal $950 worth, it's not considered one big theft. See, it used to be under the Texas law that if you stole $950 for you and you were with another guy that stole $950, then you are on the hook for two $950s and three $950s and four $900s. But anyway, not the case. Well, the man that defended accidentally turned the gun that the robber had on himself, on the robber, and killed the young man. And so now there he's been sued, and he's being charged with murder. So this is where we are. We're in an evil, evil country. And there's not much that I can see that is redeeming in all of this kind of thing going on. So God was a creative man. And if he made man in his image, which he says he did, then he anticipated that man should be creative. In the way we respond and deal, you see, with what's going on in the world. Well, man can be creative. So I let Nancy see this last time, so I have to bring it this time. But anyway, this is a rendition of what's called the clacker. Now, in the 1800s and early 1900s, they made these clackers, and clackers are one-string puppets. So they don't have the strings, but they dance a jig. If you work them right, they dance a jig. And these were made to entertain Appalachia, the Pennsylvania Dutch. Now, you can make modern clackers different ways, so you can make it different. You can make them so they sit down and fall down and sit down. So, but anyway, this was done. Now look at this. What we have here, you see, is a creation of man. And there's some differences and some similarities. God created man from nothing. And he wants to create man in a way that man will live in a good way, his way. And you see, man can create things with what God made and gave us, his stuff. We can create things. But the similarities are, you see, man controls. This doesn't have a will of its own. God gave man a will of his own. But you see, the similarity is that this has absolutely no power to do anything, even sit down, without manpower. We have absolutely no power to do anything but what God gives it to us. That's to be evil. We have no power to be evil. We have no power to do anything unless God gives us that power. And so in a way, we're a lot like God. What we have power over is what we created. But we don't have the power to create the seed that grows the tree, that grows the wood, that makes the puppet. Man does not do anything at all without the power of God. So now turn to John, 1 John. I'm going into the New Testament here. Let's go to 1 John. And I want to look at 1 John 11 through 20. John 5, 11 through 20. I'm sorry. First John 11 through 20. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whoever so we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desire of him. Making very clear at this point, you see that God is our hope. The Lord is our hope. And then he warns us in 16 and on. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not to death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. God's essentially suggesting here to us that he will protect us, protect his people, those that are in him, that believe in him. And 20, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him. So as long, you see, as we pay attention to what God's commandments are and follow those, he promises some sort of protection. The hope is with that Lord, with Jesus. Now I'm going to turn to Jude. And there is no chapters in Jude, so we're going to go to verse 17 and 19, Jude 17 and 19. But beloved, remember ye the words which spoken before of the apostles our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. And you see what it's saying is, when the Bible was written, what we're going to have is we're going to have these illegal people that we're seeing right now. This is nothing new. It's just a different way. We're using different vehicles. We have invented inventions that are do good, but they also do bad, and they allow people to do bad. And so we're just seeing different evil, and we're seeing more types of it. All those idiosyncrasies, all those ideologies that they have invented, if there isn't an ideology in favor of red bandanas around your neck, I am sure somebody will form one before the evening is over. Red bandanas. What was it, the red hat women? You remember? Oh my. See, it doesn't take anything to create an animal that is really not important to God. Just doesn't take much at all. And we've got a lot of them. And this country is suffering with it because not only are the politicians in it, believing in one of those little ideology takes you out of God's world. Now, did I read Jude 20 through 23? If not, let me go back to Jude and read 20 through 23. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most high holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. So of some of these people that are weirdos out here, God's telling us to make a difference in their lives. And then, listen to this, you see 23, and others save with fear of pulling them out of the fire, hating even a garment spotted by the flesh. In other words, put yourself in harm's way for those evil ones. Oh, wait a minute. Now this is getting serious. Is God telling us to do that now with these kind of people that we have now? Surely they're different. I don't know how they can be any more evil than just murder, killing them all. Oh, yeah, I know they're harvesting babies in what country was it? We watched the video. They are taking body parts from live babies and stacking the live babies to die like cordwood in the back room in this country that we watched the video on. Evil, 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 and this is what we're facing. And then God's telling us, risk our lives were on these people. But God did. Jesus did. Christ did exactly that. So, where's our hope? Where do we tend to go for our hope? And where again, what can we do for our hope? And what can we really do in the ways we're doing? And you see, God's looking for a good man always. He's looking for somebody he can use at all times. He's looking for people that he can use. And I looked at, I raised the issue of an artisan. You know, these were created for fun, for the kids in Appalachia, because they didn't have Walmart in the 1900s, early 1900s. And they could dance their doll or their cracker puppet. They called them cracker puppets. And then there are modern cracker puppeteers now that build one-string puppets that are amazing in what they move. Some of them sell for $3,000 or $5,000 a piece. One-string puppets. Well, so IUC recommended that maybe we ought to look at other things that we can do besides just maybe some of the things we ordinarily do. And so I look at art because I'm interested in art. And is there hope in art, music, reading, poetry, acting, movies? Is there hope? Is there hope? So in these times, God is always looking for somebody he can use. Someone perhaps that's creative, like doctors who save lives. Well, what about artists? They don't save any lives, do they? Well, I don't know. You see, I have told the story before of the Austrian stamps when the Nazis in Germany came into Austria, and they moved into Austria, and the people in Austria were of two divisions. Divided like in the United States now, but there were those that supported the Nazis coming in and there were those that didn't. And in order to give hope to the people of Austria who loved Austria, the people who made the stamps with the German soldiers standing right back here, and they drew the stamp. And in the stamp, they created these beautiful maiden girls dressed in the Austrian dresses with somehow they made the county that those different counties were made around the girl. So that the outline of the girl became the county of their home. And encouraged those people, gave them hope that there were other people that still supported Austria. And, as a sidelight, the Christian faith, perhaps. Well, you see, artists do interesting things, and if you go to a museum, you really ought to go to a museum from time to time just to see what some of the artists do. And and that type of thing. But you've had this sculpture over here in this house, and I appreciate your displaying it, because the whole idea of this sculpture over here is that we present a message. You see, the sculpture was made for an art show at a church, a big church, Bible church, in Little Rock, Arkansas. And what they did is they created an art show, and they invited youth, little girls, they invited those in prison to participate. They invited those in federal jails to participate. They invited the good artists, the youth artists, the high school artists to all come and participate. And they gave them a theme. And the theme was, Jesus is the light for our path. Now you see, the interesting thing is that if you're not a Christian, you got to read the Bible to fit the theme. Which meant the criminals in the jail that wanted to participate, because they were painters or artists, had to read the Bible and find, you see, three verses to share, or two verses or whatever, in order to share as their discussion of what the whole thing meant. Well, the theme was Jesus is light. And how does this demonstrate this? Then, you see, so I had to write that out. And the verses that I had were, and I'm going to share a card with you. I'll have one of these cards. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The path of righteousness, Proverbs 4:18. The path of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The theme then had to be discussed, and I had to share in addition, well, then how does that demonstrate that? Well, Jesus is made very light, and his facial expressions are fully complete. He's the complete man. He's the complete God, God-man. Has eyes, has ears, has hair, has hands, feet, what have you. But if you look at these other people, you see they're not complete. They don't have eyes. They don't. They're darker. They're darker wood. They're darker complected. They are the dark coming to the light. And my discussion was our inspiration. Our pathway is Jesus the light. Jesus is shown as bright to represent not only Jesus, but light. The people on the pathway are darker with less detail as they represent us, an unfinished product of the path. Jesus is the light. And you're welcome to take these cards. I'll share them with anybody who wants those. But anyway, that's what artists do. So there's an explanation. And I have then, from information here from an artist, Discovering God Through the Arts. And I want to just share with you some of these statements in here. Look at them. You know, despite the fact that it's not the Bible, you've got to remember, you see, that sometimes what people say off the cuff really makes a point with people they're dealing with. And I'm just going to share a few of these. I've got a number of them, but anyway, Just share a few of his, and here's one of their comments. We can ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito, and the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to remember to attend to that person incognito, and in fact to come awake to him, and still more, to remain awake. Now tell me that isn't a pretty good message. Or this. He knew, God knew, we are trained to look and to move on. But if we simply stop and attend to what is sound is around us, we can see afresh. How many people look and don't see anything? And if maybe for the first time. But then he goes on to say, prayer can be like that. Prayer is being attentive to your life. It is a way of bringing God into what you're seeing, feeling, and experiencing. At times, it may be hard to stay focused with your prayers, but if you attend in prayer, you'll begin to experience something beyond the boredom that might first arise from sitting quietly with God. Sometimes, your first step in your journey is to just look down and see exactly where you are on the path. You spend too much time looking down the road, such as the way of the pilgrim. Our response to such things is one of the things that sets us apart from the animal kingdom. I marvel at the delicate beauty of the rose. My dog relieves the smell on the rose. One of the things this story suggests to us is that sometimes, this is the picture they're talking about, sometimes God comes to us incognito, that we might not even realize at first the import of what we are experiencing at the moment we are experiencing. God sometimes enters our lives when we least expect it. He might appear as an ordinary traveler on a dusty road we travel. And we may travel quite a distance unaware of the presence of our companion on the journey. But he is there with us every step. The wonder of God with us is present to those who are open to the moments of when revelation breaks through the ordinary and wakes us to extraordinary. To live in wonder is to be on the lookout for the instance when we might get a glimpse of God revealed commonplace. The ancients understood the stories and the myths and the epics and the songs and could embody some lies, most profound truths, many of them truths about science, about which science would have little to say. Part of our spiritual quest, and indeed our human quest, is not only to know what things are, but what they mean. The Bible is filled with poetry meant to take us deeper into our understanding of the mystery of God's grace to us. The arts remind us that we live in a world that is haunted by things beyond it. A couple of years ago, while I was shuffling through the Uffizi Gallery in Florence, I don't know, I have been there, I've seen this, so I concur with every bit of this. While I was shuffling through Uffizi Gallery in Florence and amazed at how many iconic masterpieces had been gathered together in one place, I was struck afresh with the realization of how many of them were based upon biblical themes. As I slowly wandered among the galleries, I saw masterwork after masterwork of artists that attempted to illustrate key events from the pages of scriptures. The Annunciation, the Nativity of Christ, the Last Supper, the Crucifixion, as well as the stories of Noah, Adam and Eve, David and others from the pages of the Old Testament. Moving slowly from painting to painting, taking it all in, was a privilege to experience many diverse interpretations and unique evocations of the most familiar stories. In the process, some of these biblical narratives came to life for me in a new way. I hadn't come to the museum with a purpose in mind, but it was one of the things that I took away from my visit. Very true. Studies show that children remember things better when images are wedded to the words, or when the words are read aloud while their eyes can follow along. That's why most textbooks for kids are filled with pictures, and why the best teachers read aloud to their students. Frankly, the brains of adults aren't much different. We are more likely to retain information and ideas when we not only read them, but also when we see them and hear them. There is a symbiotic relationship at work. Life is messy. It isn't all about ecstatic moments, experiences of beauty and wonder and the power of love. We also undergo disappointments, betrayals, witnesses suffering and death of those we love, experience the immensity of anger, confusion all around us, fall victim to our own psychological failures and those of others, watch and cherish relationships crumble, struggle with doubt, hear of evil formed against the innocent, helpless, see dreams crushed, and we feel awkward and ignored. The list could go on. We are given two wines to drink in this life, the white wine of joy and the red wine of suffering. Until we have drunk deeply of both, we have not fully lived. There is no conflict in him. Just remember that we oftentimes find ourselves in a pit of our own digging before we emerge to the light of God's grace. If you think this world is a place intended simply for our happiness, you find it quite intolerable. Think of it as a place of training and correction. It's not so bad. So if you're in prison, imagine a set of people all living in the same building. Half of them think it's a hotel because they're willing to think that, and the other half think it's a prison. The people who tried to hold an optimistic view of this world would become pessimists. The people who hold a pretty stern view of it become optimistic. Our hope is based in the faith, in the fact that God has a bigger agenda for our lives than merely our present happiness. He walks with us through a broken world, calls us to be agents of a change within it, and offers to transform us through all of the challenges we face. We can learn a lot from the pain we experience. The Weavers was a part of a series of prints that represented the first in visual art, a sympathetic depiction of the plight of the workers who are on the losing end of social change. This is Nazi Germany. These images were sensation when they were first exhibited, though they raised the ire of the emperor, which is probably Hitler, who called them gutter art. Simply, the Nazis later labeled her art as degenerate, saying it was not morally uplifting. telling the truth is not appreciated often by those in power. Similarly, we could not be afraid to use the words of others as guides in our praying. Praying written prayers can be a wonderful addition to your prayer expenses. We sing songs that are written, and so this is a prayer that they have repeated here, and let us pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I know really myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I really actually am doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have the desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road through, though I may not know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils at home. Amen. Prayer is similar in many ways. We should not rush to finish. With both poetry and prayer, we should not rush to speak what we already know, but to open the impartation of new meanings and new understandings in our relationship with God. Sometimes the work of non-believers, seekers, and strugglers has inspired me more than the safer creations of fellow believers. I think there's a lot of common sense and understanding in what Terry Glaspie's saying in this. And God is always looking for someone he can use. Not necessarily artists, all people, plumbers, politicians. He's looking for somebody he can use. Somebody that he can use to do good. So turn to 1 Peter 3:15. See if I'm... 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Manifesting that we ought to be sharing our common language based on the biblical truths that we know, in a common language that the people who don't read the Bible maybe will begin to understand. And with that, he's talking about those people that are the evil ones. We're right back where we started. He's talking about good men reaching out. He's looking for men that he can use to reach out to those people. And you know, I think I've gone way too far past, but I think we think that the end times are here. But don't be surprised if it takes longer to get there than you might think, because you see, he's looking for good men to do what he said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wisdom and your guidance. And thank you for these people forgiving me for going past my time. Bless this day. Bless this time in your word. Bless each of the people here with wisdom and guidance. And we pray for Lake Country Bible Church. and its leaders and its mission. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.